His next stop, Russia. By the time Sater arrived in the mid-90s, the Soviet Union had collapsed. Boris Yeltsin was in power, and Moscow had embraced a lawless version of capitalism. The city was anarchy, ruthless, but full of opportunity. Through connections on Wall Street, Sater started a telecommunications company in Russia, selling transatlantic cable for voice and data transmission from the newly democratic countries of the former Soviet Union to AT&T. During that era, the once powerful Soviet military and intelligence services were in disarray. Large swaths of both were being privatized. A bevy of former military officers and intelligence operatives went to work for businessmen, some legitimate, some with ties to organized crime, all looking for a piece of the new Russian economy. One man, a senior Soviet military intelligence official in Afghanistan during the Red Army's occupation, took an interest in Sater and his telecom company. Sater won't divulge the man's real name. He just refers to him as E. But he was an acquaintance who changed the American's life in unimaginable ways. The two soon became close, and Sater routinely went to Banya's saunas with E and his friends to drink and relax. Almost all of E's friends were also former high-ranking military or intelligence officials. One night, the group went out to dinner, and Sater met an American named Milton Blaine, who introduced himself as a consultant. A few days later, Blaine invited him to a popular British pub in central Moscow. He told Sater he was connected to some serious people, guys who had extraordinary access to senior levels of the Russian armed forces. "Okay," Sater said, "so what?" Blaine was an officer of the Defense Intelligence Agency, operating out of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. Sater, with his ties to E and his friends, could be very helpful. To Sater's astonishment, Blaine was recruiting him to become an intelligence asset. The U.S. was working on anti-missile defense systems, and the DIA wanted to find out how Moscow worked. Former FBI and CIA officials support Sater's account. Like many government officials interviewed for this story, they asked for anonymity because they weren't authorized to speak about the matter. Sater says it took him about 3 seconds to decide. "I'm in," he told Blaine, a decision he now says was driven by both patriotism and a romantic notion of espionage. He had no idea what he was getting himself into.